Fred, just picture this. The nights are drawing in. Coronavirus is on the up. You head round to your best mate's house on the Saturday night, ready for the lash. You get there. You ask for a vodka, lime and soda water. They give it to you. You look your mate in the eye and you say, pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. Pre-lash, pre-lash. Pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. 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 Your best mate tells you he's got beer pong and he's ready to play and he can film you. You could put it on your Instagram. You look at him and you say, mate, pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. Pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. Pre-lash, pre-lash. Drinks are flowing, beer pong has been playing. And your Insta stories are getting full. He starts bringing out the beer funnel. You're getting absolutely steamboated. By that time, you look your mate in the eye and you go, pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. Pre-lash, pre-lash. Pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. Pre-lash, pre-lash. Then you realise it's 1 a.m. and actually all the bars are closed because of coronavirus and you're just absolutely smashed. So you just have to go home. Good note is you're not that hungover the next day and you can probably go to the gym.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rig Biz Podcast, episode 4 of preseason, the last of our preseason. How's the chat?
Oh, mate. The chat is nearly there.
It's getting to boiling point.
I was out with the boys in the weekend. They were like, your banter is booming.
It's the best we've heard.
Booming banter. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to the season ahead. We've got some tough fixtures, but pre-C has been good. It's just been good to get in the routine of having some seriously good pitter-patter.
We're talking about big fixtures. Were you watching the T20 final on the weekend on Sky? Because we had
getting lashed, mate.
All right. Well, we had two huge fans of the show. Rhys Topley was bowling from his mark to
Toppers.
Ben Duckett.
Ducky.
Who just loves the... I mean, I was just thinking like...
Two guys who enjoy the lash.
Yeah.
Two guys who enjoy the banter.
Yeah.
Two guys who are successful from listening to the pod.
Exactly. You know, we do have an effect on people. Popey just signed that 360 grand contract. And I did actually speak to him. He said he's going to invest in a couple of new products for AC Limited.
Yeah,
He wanted to see if we could do something with a cricket bat and a flashlight rather than just a rugby ball.
Mate, potentially, yeah.
Yes.
But, mate, pre-C has been strong. I think, you know, you've definitely needed the pre-C.
Well, yeah. And, you know, lockdown
was
harsh.
For me, it was just testing out a bit, you know, some new banter. And I think people have really enjoyed it. But come next week, come the first fixture. Yeah, mate. Honestly, it's like fireballs that were coming out of my mouth.
And how's business?
That's me machine gunning my banter everywhere.
And how's business been?
Q4 has started deliciously, yeah.
Yeah.
It's superb. It's good to be in the mix of Q4. You always get a bit nervous when you head into Q4, but I tell you what, BD, business development is being on point, mate.
So drink.
The pre-C has actually helped my business development. That is the beauty of this podcast. Last week when Q4 kicked off, I just took the Northern Line, listened to the Rig Biz last week, and my chat was pretty good. And it just gives me just so much confidence walking out of office. Got a successful podcast. I live in Clapham. I look great. Got a great lid. And then I just walk in and think, Q4, I'm having you.
You just reek of money.
My man. Yeah. Q4 is my man.
You're marking him.
Onside, up, boom, handshake, deal. Welcome to Q4.
We're talking about mixing rugby and business. We've got an incredible guest on the podcast today. CEO of the RPA.
Well, one of my best connections on LinkedIn.
Really?
This was, that's how the deal is done. And you will listen to how business is conducted when two CEOs go for it. You just watch and learn. This is the perfect end of preseason fixture.
We're mixing rugby and business.
Oh,
we're kicking off Q4 in style.
Jesus
and next
Christ.
Week, we're kicking off season 3. And fuck me, have we got some big guests.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some big ones before, but this is...
Oh, champagne.
Love champagne.
It's the best way to describe season 3 is just one big champagne. Commercial
break. Archie, big news coming out of Clapham. Breaking news, as it were. We've acquired ourselves a new sponsor.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes, we have. What are you doing?
We don't have a bell here. Normally when I get a new deal in the office, I ring the bell, but I just have a whistle. every time we get a new sponsor, I'm just going to whistle. And then, like, clap. You've got to clap. That's it, yeah. So, yeah, new deal, new cash.
Do you want to know who it is?
Yeah, yeah, go on, who is it?
It is the incredible Tailored Menswear, Beaufort and Blake, making the best shirts, trousers, everything around.
Mate, I know them. No, you've been wearing them for years.
Right, okay.
If there's a make, like, catered for the rugby boy,
yeah,
then it's Beaufort and Blake. Can I just say, they are perfect for all occasions.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of guys in the city struggle with Dress Down Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But they are perfect. You know, when you want to wear mufti on a Friday, they just have a great range. Their chinos are superb. Superb.
What's so bloody brilliant about
them? Well, the pockets are just brilliant. There's a lot of room to put your business cards, your wallet, your money clip. It's just, and they hug to you at your quads, which is just great. It's always what I look for in the new sort of trousers. And then they've got a shirts, quarter zips, which is brilliant. You know, I wear that into the office. Come Friday, 4 o'clock, I'm like, listen, boys, we've absolutely smashed this. Head to the Ned for some beers. Take the quarter zip off. Put it across my shoulder just in a knot, you know, in the front. And it just makes you feel good. It's one of those looks that just, what I think about clothes is, clothes are like watches, you know. If you have a good watch, people know you're successful. If you wear good clothes, people know, you know, you've got a high basic salary.
But also you get past that problem. No one wants to rock up to Clapham for drinks afterwards wearing a suit.
No, it's time to
change.
That's only Thursday night lash. Friday, you know, Mufti Fridays is all about both them, Blake.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's decent. And you know what? This is quite good bands. They've got some pretty amusing boxer shorts.
They do. Well, they got some new ones with rugby
players.
Yeah,
I've actually got a couple of pairs, and they're really good. Because I, you know, when you're out on a Friday night, you know, wearing those, if you get lucky, it's quite a good joke with the chica. You know, you can be like, look, rugby balls.
Yeah.
But that's very rare for me because I'm normally playing rugby on a Saturday, and I wouldn't want to disrupt, you know, what's going on Saturday. But yeah, epic, mate. Yeah, they cater for all occasions. Mufti Fridays. Going to the rugby, playing golf, sailing.
Yeah.
You can even wear it after, you know, you've done a good day skiing. When you're just out to a nice restaurant.
Date night.
Yeah.
Infernos, meeting girls.
Yeah. Perfect, mate. And I will be reaping the benefits. I'm guessing there's a discount code for everyone.
Well, there is. So
how much? To be honest, most people wear this will have a seriously good basic salary. Probably won't even want to use the discount code.
Well, they've just launched their autumnal range, and we hope they do use it so we can track our progress. If you guys want to look good wherever you go, then this is really the look for you. Shirts, trousers, everything you ever want, jumpers,
Q-tips. Or if you just want to go for a walk on the common.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a little brisk Sunday walk. You're always going to look fashionable. And guys, they've just launched their new autumnal range, which is incredible. And we're giving you 15% off.
15%.
No one else is giving discounts. So get on the Beaufort and Blake website and type in RigBiz15 on checkout and you'll get 15%.
RigBiz!
If you guys want to look like your hero, look like the Messiah, the man you know, praise every single day, Mr. Archie Curzons, are you going to be putting up some of your looks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. There'll be a few little snaps of me and my Beaufort and Blake's just to whet the appetite.
Right, okay. Well, guys, go on
their quarter zips. I'm just thinking about it now. Oh, yeah.
Warm and pleasing. Well, guys, go on the Beaufort and Blake website and RigBiz15. That's RigBiz15.
I would just put a warning. If you've got a terrible wobbly chassis, it's probably not for you.
Agreed. We're delighted to be joined by the founder and chief executive of the Rugby Players Association, the RPA, ex-London Wasps and England international, Mr. Damien Hopley, a.k.a. Hoppers, a.k.a. the Vicar of Rugby. Damien, you nearly have as many nicknames as Archie himself. How did the Vicar of Rugby nickname come about?
Freddie, can I just interrupt and just say, Hoppers, it's just great to have you on the pod. It's great to have a fellow CEO, a businessman, after my own heart on the podcast. It's what I've been waiting for. And I'm sure people are going to be interested about the sort of business, the chanter, the city banter we're going to have.
Well, and as someone who read theology at university, it's an absolute privilege to be meeting a proper archbishop after all this time. So I really feel that I've found my Graceland at long last.
We should, I mean, just before we start the interview, we should definitely sort out a little luncheon at the Ned or maybe a round of golf or something like that and talk more business.
So, well, maybe we'll have a round of golf at the Ned. That'd be quite fun.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to
mini golf. Hops, your playing career was tragically cut short at the age of 26, and I'm guessing the lack of support network you found around you at that time must have been deeply frustrating. Is that what inspired you to start the RPA back in 1998?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I was sort of captain in the sevens team, you know, way back in the day, and sort of I think we signed a disclaimer on the bus on the way to the airport, basically indemnifying the RFU of any insurance claims, which at the time, you know, you're 26 and as I'm sure a lot of players and other, you know, amateur players will tell you, you think you're indestructible. So when I suffered a very serious knee injury out in Hong Kong and went to the RFU and said, okay, can you help? You know, I can't play again. And I had, I think, 7 or 8 operations, 2 reconstructions on my knee. And they told me to move along. So, yeah, it was hugely frustrating. But I guess what I tried to do was turn it into a positive. And I was very lucky to meet the guys at the Professional Cricketers Association, Richard Bevan, who's now moved on to work in football at the League Managers Association. And really, he sort of showed me how it all worked. And I was really passionate because of what happened to me, that I didn't want to be the guy who sort of, I guess, let the system get on top of him. So we set up the Players Association with the support of all the guys. And here we are sort of still going strong many, many years on.
It's interesting because I guess everyone knows I'm sort of one of the more famous semi-pro rugby players. I'm sure you're aware of the Clapham Falcons. But I guess what's the fortunate thing for me is I've managed to carve out quite a successful career in the city. So, you know, touch wood, I haven't had any serious injuries. And we've got Tom Mayers, our head coach, who's keeping me in great nick. But if I did have a career-ending injury, I'm lucky I've sort of got a six-figure salary to sort of lean back on, which I'm sure a lot of rugby players don't have.
Well, it's a massive issue. And actually, if you think about the steps that we've made, and there's been a lot of chat about the last 25 years of rugby, but over that time, players had no insurance. They had very little backup. Now they've got one of the best insurance policies in the world. It still doesn't compensate for not being able to play the game you love. But players at least have some sort of buffer when they retire. As we all know, when you have to sort of hang up the boots and give back the car keys and the tracksuit and everything else that goes with it, it's an extremely challenging time from a sort of physical and mental health perspective. So, we feel very proud of what we've done in terms of helping the players, the legacy we've built up over the years. And now, you know, we think that England is probably one of the best places to play rugby in the world, and we're an integral part of that.
Damo, I just put it out there. If you ever need me to come in and talk to some of the rugby players about sort of the highs and lows of the business world, I'll ping you an email after this and connect with you on LinkedIn. And you're more than happy to come and run some courses. I know Jackman, Cliffy, who's recently retired, friend of the show. I'm taking him under my wing, and he's coming for a sort of work experience with me for a week, which
Very
will
good.
Probably consists of quite a lot of lunches at the old Ned. The offer's there, Damo.
Part of the course. Well, I my first job when I left, when I came down from Cambridge, was actually to work at ICAP. So I had a couple of years in that environment, and it was very challenging as a semi-professional athlete to combine lunches and training and playing for WASP. So I'm sure Jack's in very good hands.
Yeah, he is. I mean, little tip, you know, if there are, you know, fellow semi-pro rugby players sort of trying to carve out a career in the city and play rugby, I always tell clients I'm having a G&T, but actually it's just water because I don't want anything to affect the rig, and I'm on a strict calorie diet. So it's just a slight tip for all you guys out there.
That's a great life hack. Thank you for sharing.
Damo, you represent over 1,200 professionals and semi-professional players now, especially the semi-pros I'm interested in, because those who come from Archie's circle are normally deeply suspicious of trade unions. But as an ex-Harrow major public school student yourself, can you explain the main duties carried out for your members, just to sort of give confidence to get Archie to believe even more in this wonderful project?
Yeah, absolutely. Champagne socialists. I think from our perspective, you know, it's about creating protections for the players, because often a lot of players sort of come and knock on the door of professional rugby, and unfortunately the majority of those don't make it into first 15 contracts at the premiership level. Also, you drop down to championship, there's some fantastic clubs there and fantastic setups there. We don't actually represent the championship clubs because we don't have enough resource to stretch that far, but certainly, you know, we want to look at players when they're coming into the game and show them that rugby can be a career path, not just on the field, but also off it. So we have a huge investment with the RFU and Premiership Rugby into what we call our Gainline program, which is all about helping players develop their skills off field whilst they're playing, so that when they do retire, and Jack's a very sad example, but a very good example, of someone who's extremely bright. He's a great team player, obviously highly successful. I heard him speak recently saying how grateful he was that he'd achieved so much in his career, which he did. But I've no doubt that Jack has got fantastic skills to then adapt and transfer into the real world. So it's really important from our perspective that we give and enable those players the support they need to move on into whatever sector or sphere they want to do once they've finished their playing days.
I definitely echo what you say about Cliffy. I've seen him in action in Infernos, and he's got some wonderful networking ability. And I said to him on the phone. He called me, asking for tips. I said, listen, I've seen your work in Infernos. You've got fantastic chat, and I've seen you move around that venue with great confidence. I'm sure you're going to be able to, do it in the city. He's intelligent, good-looking, and, he's got a great chassis, which is key to being successful in anything you do.
Well, I couldn't agree more, but certainly being able to work a room in Infernos is a real life skill.
Actually, Hoppers, I'm just looking at you now on the camera, and I've got to say, you're in fantastic shape.
Turned 50 in lockdown, and so from me to me in lockdown is just to try and keep myself in relatively good nick. So I take myself off to things like the body camp in Ibiza and Mallorca once a year, just to try and remind myself that I used to be quite handy.
No, I mean, Hoppers, I've got to say, if I sort of brushed past you in the city, I'd imagine I'd see you in a well sort of fitted suit, and I could just tell you sort of look successful, which is part of the key to being a successful CEO. I mean, I'm CEO of Clapham, and part of my job is to keep myself in good condition. If people see me, they just know, look, this guy's successful. Then they talk to me, they think, okay, this guy has got a lot of pitter patter. And then they think, well, must be making a lot of money. And that they're right, yeah.
Yeah, and Archie, just remind me who your chairman is as CEO, or is it a sort of solar setup you've got there?
It's a solar setup. I mean, my dad is, I offered him the chance to come on as a non-executive board member, but he said he's busy. But we're looking at all kinds of options. Hask has sort of said that he might come on and chair it. And also Jim Hamilton is sort of been sniffing around for some extra cash as well.
Hops, obviously COVID-19 has wreaked havoc across all walks of life, entertainment, medians and the world of sport, but rugby has seemed to suffer the most, with players all eventually agreeing to take a 25% salary cut. I want to ask you, how did this all come about? You were obviously playing a big part in sort of negotiations and feeding back the information to players and clubs. Whose decision was it, and how messy did it get?
Yeah, I think it's a time we'll all look back on and perhaps wish things had been done differently. And what's actually happened on the back of it all is we've actually had some really positive dialogue. And I know, it seems sometimes I think people look at professional sport and think, well, why are they complaining? What are they worried about? They all drive X cars and, earn hundreds of thousands of pounds a week. Well, that's not the case. And actually, we obviously through the RPA see maybe some of the more unpleasant sides of professional sport through players who've had to retire through injury or just maybe have got some disputes going on in their clubs. But what we've actually come out with now is you've got some clubs who I think handled it very, very well, engaged the players early on, took them into their confidence around the structure and nature of the business. Other clubs, not so well. And, the thing that we've said all along is that when hopefully COVID passes and we get crowds back in and everyone's got to play for each other and with each other. So I think everyone will remember, how people behaved during lockdown. And I think we're in a much better place than where we were because it all happened so quickly. But it's probably reinforced now the essence and the vitality of having a player's voice. I'm sure there are some players who think we could do more and should do more. But, we've worked incredibly hard, been on Zoom calls for the last 4.5, 5 months. Trying to guide players through what is very uncharted territory for all of us. So, it's been pretty challenging. And also we saw the Sevens program is now being dismantled. And as someone who played a lot of Sevens myself, I always think the Sevens guys and girls are some of the hardest working athletes that we've got.
I think it's all about communication, Hoppers. Definitely in my workplace, I've had some very difficult conversations. I'll take one example. There's a young lad in my team in the city, a guy called Kevin, who's unfortunately from Liverpool, and very hardworking. But when COVID hit, we had to make some serious cuts. And I think it's all about communication and being honest. And I took Kevin into a meeting room just when COVID was, you know, about to break. And I said, listen, Kevin, we're going to have to cut your salary by 25%. He wasn't happy. But then I explained to him, look, you're from Liverpool. You've got a leg tattoo. You know, you're pretty lucky to be in this position. And he actually took it pretty well. And I did say to him, it's either him or me. And I've got a lot of expenses to go. You know, I've got looking at 4-bed house in Clapham. That's going to be in the region of 1 to 1.5 million. So it's difficult to get that mortgage, really, with me taking a salary cut. So he took it really well. He's had to actually move back to Liverpool with his family. He's commuting every day, which is a nightmare. But he, you know, but I think what I've said to him is, look, you can work from home for 2 days a week. But you know, at the end of the time, you know, this is now. We're talking 4 months ago. He keeps complaining. I had to tell him the other day, listen, shut up or put up. And actually he's putting up. But, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It's all communication, isn't it?
Yeah, but no, it's good to hear that your HR policy is really strong. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, that when Boss of the Year gets floated, you'll be right up in the top three.
Oh, that's very kind.
Hops, I was going to say, you touched it on there, but another, you know, massive fallout from COVID has been the impact on rugby sevens, you being an ex-England sevens player. On top of your 15s achievements, of course. But what are your thoughts on the funding being completely cut? And, you know, I saw something on a couple of Sevens players' Instagrams earlier talking about the amount of money, the 25 grand a game the England 15s team get paid. That could, you know, one match fee could keep a lady or a men's rugby player in a job for a year. The Olympics is a year out. You know, as Presidente of the RPA, what sort of line are you trying to draw to support the Sevens players who are now out of job, out of money, out of home?
Yeah, and actually, you know, it's the saddest thing because, as I've already touched upon, they're just a brilliant group of professionals and athletes. And I think it's quite hard to sort of compare apples with, you know, 15s and Sevens because obviously 15s, you know, on its day generates tens of millions of pounds for the RFU and the players get compensated accordingly because they are the ones generating all that money. So
the honest question is, did Sevens ever make money? Did it ever support itself or not? I mean, is it a loss? Archie runs a company. If something's not making money, he cuts it.
Freddie, can I just say, you're reminding me of Piers Morgan here on this is fantastic journalism.
Thank you, sir.
It's maybe Archie, you should get hold of Sevens because actually I think there is a real opportunity with Sevens around. You know, we look at IPL, for me, Sevens is a bit like 2020 cricket. And, you know, it's very easy to understand. It's short, sharp, fast. And I do think, you know, if you look at the tournaments like Dubai, Hong Kong,
fantastic
Wellington.
Fantastic lashes.
When it was at, first class.
Yeah.
You know, even Canada and Vegas, you know, it's a brilliant circuit, but I guess the issue is it was costing all the unions significant amounts of money. Now, I just think if someone could get hold of that circuit and tournament, and obviously we've now had a big injection of private equity capital into English rugby, Pro 14, and potentially the Six Nations. I just think the Sevens circuit has got huge potential, for whatever reasons, I think the local tournaments like Hong Kong and Dubai have done very, very well. Others have struggled. And, you know, I just think there's an opportunity there. So I'm sure, Archie, if you could get hold of it, it would be a cash cow.
Well, Damo, what I think is we need to get some of the brightest minds in the country. You know, obviously, look, I can bring all my City knowledge, but maybe we need to get yourself, you know, me, Hask, Kersey, some of the big names in rugby, just do some brainstorming. Look, I can be the face of it. You know, I've got no problem with that. Like I said, I'm a you know, Clapham's biggest influencer. Maybe you know, we could even bring it back to the home of rugby, Clapham, and have a Sevens tournament there. I mean, on a personal note, I'm gutted because I love London Sevens. I mean, fancy dress is probably my favourite kind of sort of lash. I've got, you know, I always go as Jared Butler from 300, no matter what the theme is, because I've, you know, it's just getting your chassis out, isn't it? And the birds do love it.
Do you taper for that event specifically?
I up my CrossFit regime quite significantly. But it sounds like I might actually come and do one of those body workouts in Ibiza with you. And, you know, tune the rig. We could do it together. We could tune our rigs, chew the fat, you know, maybe look at some investments, turn the game of rugby around. And, you know, when you decided to, you know, move over, I could come and take over your seat as the CEO of not just chat, but rugby and rugby sevens.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised we haven't had this conversation before, if I'm honest with you.
I have tried to connect with you, Damien, quite a number of times, and you seem to, it seems to not be going through. I imagine you get quite a lot of connections. But look, I know where you live, so I'll just put my business card through your letterbox and we can sort of go from there.
Please do.
Hops, I quickly wanted to say, just as we move on, obviously the work the RPA does is just, you know, absolutely incredible, from looking after terminally injured players and getting sort of Goody a job buying currency in the city. But how do you guys stay afloat, and how can we help to sort of continue the brilliant work you guys are doing?
Yeah, I guess from a commercial perspective, you know, we have a lot of inventory. We obviously, the players are fantastic in trying to help out as much as they can. But, you know, we want to try and create probably more independent investment streams to make sure that, that there's a lot of sort of chat about whether we're compromised because we receive funding from the RFU and the clubs. You won't be surprised to hear that we don't think we are. And in fact, you know, all the work we've done around the England team, and indeed the standard contract and the support we put in place for the players, so would be testament that we're not just rolling over at any opportunity. But yeah, certainly the more people hear about the work we do, the more they come to really appreciate the time and effort that goes into everything that we do. And we're quite a diverse organization in terms of the roles that we play. But the more support we can get from rugby fans, rugby players around the UK, the better.
Hoppers, I've got to say, you know, it's been incredible talking to you. I didn't think it would go this well, but having a look at you, you know, like I said, you've got the chassis. You certainly got the chat. I'm sure you've got the coin. I have to say, I'm not too sure about the lid. I think it could be more flair.
Yeah.
It could be more flair.
Yeah.
I even think you could put some blonde tips in there just to spice it up.
Now that I've turned 50. I've stopped using product, and that's probably to my own downfall. But, time to age gracefully.
But one thing is, and obviously this podcast coming out just before season 3 of the Rig Biz. I'm sure you're a big fan of the Rig Biz podcast. But this season 3 is we are aiming to go and get a Christmas number one, join the rugby community together to push for a ultimate rugby sing-along. And all donations going to Restart Rugby. I'm guessing you're keen to sort of come on and maybe sing a verse or a line.
Well, we actually have a number of very talented musicians within the RPA membership, so I'm sure that you'll find some great talent to help out. And obviously, if you need a sort of out of key backing singer, I'd be very happy to step in.
And Freddie, that's how you do business, just so you know. That's how you do business.
That was incredibly impressive, I must say.
Smooth.
Just 101 in terms of networking and business. You watch. Damo will connect with me on LinkedIn tomorrow.
Well, we're going to try and get him that number one and raise as much money as we can for the RPA. Damien, thank you so much.
Yeah,
Hoppers,
thank you so much.
You know, you're an absolute legend, mate. The work you do is just incredible. And we, you know, are going to do all we can and get our fans to listen and support as much as they can
Yeah, generally, we want to do as much as we can for the rugby community, mainly because, I've got to be honest, I'm making so much money that it's no point me taking any money from the music or the Instagram. Just, you know, give it to the players.
Yeah.
They seem like they need it.
Well, Damo, thank you so much, sir. You're an absolute legend, and thanks for giving up some time.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks.
That was absolutely
incredible.
What the fuck are you doing, Archie?
Mate, that's me machine gunning my banter out. Mate, that was some seriously good chanter.
Two CEOs coming
City
face to face.
City banter at its finest. Mate, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little bit nervous going to season 3, but that... Hey.
He's got a great rig, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're...
Mate, the guy is a great, great guy, and he really enjoyed talking to me, and the banter was just flowing. I could have gone on all night.
Are you thinking about investing in sevens or not?
Big time. Bring it to Clapham, 100%. Yeah, I'll be talking to my direct reports in Clapham South, Clapham North, Clapham Junction, and Clapham Common.
What would you do to make it different, though?
Because
it is
lots,
suffering.
Lots, mate, lots.
Like what?
Fancy dress. Mate, a lot more fancy dress.
They already do fancy dress.
No, they just do it in London, but I'd be doing
they do it everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that is... Okay, surprise, because that normally would be a successful thing to do.
Yeah,
okay, well, then a lot more drinking. I'd make it a big drinking
thing. It's the biggest lash of the weekend, no matter where you go. Hong Kong to Dubai, London to, you know, Las Vegas. It's already lashed.
Okay, thinking about it, it's a tough sell, isn't it? Not much you can do in it.
There isn't.
Maybe I'll have to get on the pitch. Commercially, I might have to come on the pitch.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's going to help.
My Instagram is nearly 38,000.
Have you heard anything from the Bar Buzz?
Not yet, but hoping.
Okay, because if you get on the pitch for Bar Buzz, then maybe you could actually play sevens.
Okay, let me go back to Rory. I'll go back to Rory and we'll draw up a plan for the sevens. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry, Clapham. We'll sort something out.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to the last episode.
Well played.
Well done, guys.
If you got to this point in the podcast, well listened, guys.
Well done
Seriously
to everyone.
Seriously, good preseason, guys.
That's the end of
preseason. For everyone who's been part of every fixture in preseason, well listened, yeah?
Yeah, that's the end of preseason at four.
Fucking handshake you, I would.
Four games, four wins. And, guys, as I said
four
earlier.
Four really good performances.
It is mind blowing, the guests we got lined up for this next series. Mate, so, you know, I hope you're all as excited as we are.
It's our toughest season. I'm not going to lie. It is. It's going to be big.
We're going for a huge challenge as well, aren't we?
We are, mate. We are. I think this is the point where I need to address the Rugbiz community.
Okay, take it.
Boys, girls, men, women, this is our moment. This is the magician here speaking, the CEO of Clapham, the chief chat officer. This season, we are going for our biggest season yet. We are attempting a Christmas number one. We need all of you, the rugby community, to get behind us. For the next 10 weeks, we will do everything in our power to bring you the best rugby Christmas song ever attempted. Fred, actually, can you... Because I just don't feel it. Can you put some music on? Like, I don't know, something powerful.
Yeah, sure.
Let's face it, we need us now to come together more than we've ever come together before. It's been a tough year. Not for me, because I've actually, surprisingly, Q3 was probably one of my best Q3s, but that's not the point. The point is now that we must come together as a rugby community like a rugby community has never come together before. I'm talking to all of you in Clapham, England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, and maybe Italy, I don't know. I don't know if they listen to it there. But we now must come together, because this season, the Rugbiz podcast, me, the chief chat officer, is going to make a Christmas single, an attempt to go for Christmas number one. A song that will stand the test of time, that we can all sing together. In the pubs, in the stadiums, in the Northern Line, in the Ned, in the offices. We must now take control. I'm counting on all of you that when the time comes, you download the song, you buy it, and we will bring back the number one, like the 2003 England rugby team when they brought back that World Cup. Just think about it now, because we're going out there and we will fucking do it. Come on! Come on!
Come on! That's it!
Where are you going? Archie? Well, guys, you heard it here first. It's time to forge together and get behind this song, get behind the podcast like never before, because we are going for Christmas number one. Archie has just sprinted down Clapham High Street, yet to be seen, or never to be seen again, possibly. Who knows? But, guys, thank you so much for listening. It is time for us all to come together, and we start again next week with the beginning of Series 3. Don't forget to comment on the podcast. Don't forget to share it. We can't wait to see you next week for the opening fixture in what's set to be our toughest season yet. Stay safe. Lots of love.